Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to be looking at what makes science modern. And not just, you know, new discoveries and cool technology, but we're going deeper. We're looking at the very nature of how science works in the world today.
Mm.
And to help us on this journey, we're going to be diving into an essay by Niklas Luhmann.
Uh-huh.
Called The Modernity of Science. It can be a little bit dense, so buckle up.
Well, I think he's always really thought-provoking. And, you know, he starts off, he makes this interesting observation.
Yeah.
Art, you know, society, even the state, they all seem to really struggle with defining their modernity. But science.
Right.
Science just seems to effortlessly embody it.
Yeah, it's like science, just IS modernity. It's always like pushing forward, you know, like last year's iPhone. You're already like obsolete, new discoveries, cutting edge tech, like end of story, right?
Yeah, I mean, progress is definitely a big part of the story. But Luhmann, he argues that, you know, just focusing on this newness all the time, it actually makes it harder to see how science really fits into, you know, society as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls this he calls it the loss of reference.
Loss of reference.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a little ominous to you? It kind of makes me think that like science is like detached from reality, you know, like floating out there in its own little bubble.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And that's actually it gets to the heart of Luhmann's thinking.
Okay.
You see, he makes this distinction between truth.
Okay.
Which science tests, you know, it's true or false, and then reference.
Okay.
And reference is how those truths, how they actually connect to the world. And that connection, that's what he's saying, has become much more complex than simply just, you know, reflecting or representing reality.
So it's not just about, like, discovering facts. It's about how those facts, like, come to be.
Yeah.
How they're validated and, like, how they fit into the whole system of science.
Exactly.
Okay.
And he actually breaks reference down into two types.
Okay.
So you have self-reference.
Self-reference.
And that's how science understands itself, its methods, its processes.
Okay.
And then you have external reference.
External.
Which is how it connects to the world outside itself.
Okay.
You know, the stuff that it actually studies.
Okay. So, like, imagine a map, right?
Yeah.
So a map, it refers to the real world, like it's a representation.
Right.
But it's a simplified one. It's not like the actual ground, you know?
Exactly.
It's like a model. And so science, you're saying, it does something similar, right?
Yeah.
It builds these models that kind of refer to reality, but like they're not just exact copies.
Right.
Okay, I think I'm starting to like wrap my head around this reference idea a little bit. But how does this make science modern? I mean, haven't people always been like looking at the world and trying to figure stuff out?
Well, that's where Luhmann brings in this idea of functional differentiation.
Okay.
So he argues that, you know, modern society is basically like organized into all these specialized systems.
Okay.
For everything. Law, economics, you know, politics, religion, and of course, science.
Okay.
And just think about like how a doctor, you know, they view the human body compared to, let's say, an artist.
Right.
They're both observing the same thing.
Yeah.
But their systems, you know, medicine versus art, have very different goals and ways of seeing.
Okay.
Right.
That's interesting. So this this functional differentiation idea makes sense, but like, doesn't that mean that science kind of becomes like isolated?
Yeah.
Like, how can it really connect to all these other parts of society if it's like operating in its own little world?
That's a really crucial question.
Yeah.
And it's actually one that that we're going to keep coming back to as we, you know, dive deeper into Luhmann's thinking. But I think the main takeaway for now is that this separation, it's a defining feature of modern society, and it really like deeply shapes how science operates. and here's where Luhmann, he gets a little more provocative, I think.
Okay.
He argues that modern science actually like embraces simplification.
But isn't that a bad thing? I mean, shouldn't science like be striving for complete understanding?
Right.
Why would it want to simplify things?
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think it really gets to the heart of how science actually works. It's not that science ignores complexity.
Hmm.
It's more about strategically simplifying things to make them, you know, more manageable.
Okay.
So Luhmann's not saying science is simplistic.
Got it.
What he's saying is that to make progress, science often needs to focus on very specific elements, like isolate certain aspects of reality.
Okay.
While kind of disregarding others.
Okay.
Like, think about controlled experiments.
Right.
Scientists, they very carefully manipulate certain variables while they hold others constant.
Oh, like that physics joke about assuming a spherical cow, you know?
Exactly.
To make the math easier. Right. Like, obviously a cow's not a perfect sphere.
Right.
But it's a simplification.
That's a perfect example of simplification in science.
Right.
It might not perfectly reflect reality, but it allows for progress to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Or think about like idealized models in economics.
Right.
They're not meant to be, you know, exact replicas of our messy world, but they offer a way to like start to understand really complex phenomena.
Right.
You know, and I remember like early in my research, I was working on trying to model the behavior of, you know, a certain type of cell.
Okay.
And the initial model we came up with, it was so complex, so many variables, so many interactions.
Yeah.
It was just like almost impossible to make sense of it.
Right. Yeah.
So we had to start simplifying, focusing on just the really key factors
yeah.
and kind of disregard some of those less important details.
Right. So it wasn't about like pretending the complexity wasn't there. It was just like,
right.
Okay, how do we make this something we can actually work with?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's where, you know, this idea of simplification can be a little bit, I don't know, maybe controversial for some people.
Yeah.
Because you might think, well, doesn't that open the door for like bias to creep in?
Right.
If scientists are, you know, deciding what to focus on right. and what to ignore.
Yeah, like couldn't their own perspective like color
right.
the knowledge they produce?
That is such an important point.
Yeah.
And it's actually one of the key, I think, implications of Luhmann's argument.
Okay.
He acknowledges yeah. that simplification
yeah.
inevitably brings in a degree of subjectivity.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The questions scientists ask, the methods they use, the assumptions they make,
yeah.
all of that
yeah.
is influenced by, you know, their own backgrounds,
right.
their training, the prevailing scientific, you know, paradigms, even broader, like social and cultural factors.
Right.
It's not that scientists are like intentionally distorting reality.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just recognizing that
yeah.
this simplification process,
right.
it's never perfectly neutral.
So it's not just like about individual scientists and their own, you know, personal biases.
Right.
It's about like science as a system
yes.
that's like embedded in society.
Exactly.
And that shapes what kind of knowledge is considered like valid and true and all that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's where this concept of what he calls second order observation. Yeah. Becomes like really crucial.
So what is that?
So instead of just looking at what science observes,
mm-hmm.
we can step back. And we can observe how science observes.
Okay.
We can examine its methods,
right.
its assumptions, its okay. limitations.
Okay.
And, you know, this doesn't mean dismissing science.
Yeah.
It just allows us to
yeah.
appreciate, I think,
yeah.
the diversity of perspectives
yeah.
that we have in a functionally differentiated
okay.
society.
Okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
So we can ask questions like, what are the assumptions
right.
underlying this research?
Right.
Who funded it?
Okay.
Whose voices are being included or excluded?
Okay. Yeah, I see the value in that. But like that all sounds very abstract to me.
Yeah.
So how can we like actually do that?
Right.
Observe yeah. how science observes.
Right.
Can you give me like a concrete example?
Yeah, let's take the debate around GMOs.
Okay.
Genetically modified organisms.
Right, right.
So the science on GMO safety, it's complex.
Yep.
And there's actually a whole range of perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even within the scientific community.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Some studies, they highlight, you know, the potential benefits of GMOs.
Yeah.
Increased crop yields.
Right.
Reduced pesticide use.
Right.
And then others raise concerns about, you know,
yeah.
potential environmental and health risks.
Right.
And if we only focus on, like, the conclusions of those individual studies,
yeah.
it can be really hard to see the bigger picture.
Okay.
But if we step back
yeah.
and observe how that research is being conducted.
Okay.
Who's funding it?
Right.
What methods are they using?
Okay.
What questions are they even asking?
Right.
Then we can start to understand why there is this, you know, this range of views.
So it's not about like blindly accepting or rejecting the science. It's about understanding like
the context.
The context in which it's being done.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's recognizing that science, it's a human endeavor.
Right.
And like any human endeavor, it's subject to, you know,
all
sorts of influences and limitations.
So Luhmann's saying this loss of reference, this shift towards like construction, that's a defining feature of modern science.
Yes.
Okay.
And so what does that mean for us today? Like how does that play out when we think about something like climate change?
Yeah, that's a great example. Because like, you know, the science is like pretty clear that humans are, you know, causing global warming.
Right.
But there's still so much debate about like what to do about it, you know? Like some people say we need to like completely overhaul our energy systems.
Mm-hmm.
Others say like, no, we can just develop new technology.
Right.
Some people even say like, it's not even that big of a deal.
Right. And those different perspectives, they often reflect different values and priorities, right? It's like economic growth versus environmental protection.
Right.
Individual freedom versus, you know, collective action.
Right.
And these values.
Yeah.
They're not just personal opinions.
Right.
They're often embedded in how different systems in society actually operate.
Right.
So, for example, the economic system, you know, it prioritizes growth efficiency.
Right.
Whereas the legal system might focus on like individual rights and responsibilities and these different systems and their logics.
Right.
They can actually influence how we interpret and act upon. The science of climate change.
So it's not as simple as just like
following the science.
Yeah, following the science.
Right.
We also have to consider like the different values and priorities of all these like systems and how they shape like how we understand the issue.
Precisely. And that's what makes these issues so challenging.
Right.
It's not just a lack of information.
Right.
Or like scientific understanding.
Right.
It's about navigating all these complex interactions between these different systems with their different values and priorities.
Right. And Luhmann's framework helps us see why that's so hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To get everyone on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this definitely like gives a whole new perspective on that follow the science mantra, you know?
Yeah. It's way more complicated than that.
It's much more complicated than that.
But then, okay, so if we're not just blindly following the science, like how do we make informed decisions in a world where like the science is constantly changing and being contested and all that?
It's a question that goes to the heart of how we navigate modernity.
Please.
And I don't think there's an easy answer.
Right.
But I think Luhmann's work does offer us some valuable clues.
Okay. I'm all ears.
All right.
What are some of those clues?
So
what can we, like, as individuals, as a society, like, what can we do to make sure we're, like, engaging with science in a thoughtful way?
Well, as we've been discussing, I think he really emphasizes the importance of that second order observation.
Right.
You know, so that means not just taking scientific findings at face value.
Right.
But really asking those critical questions about how those findings were produced.
Okay.
What assumptions are they based on?
Right.
What are their limitations?
So, like we said before, being more critical.
Exactly.
And inform, like, consumers of scientific knowledge.
Yeah.
But how do we do that when, like, most of us aren't scientists?
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, I think it starts with recognizing that science is just one way of understanding the world.
Yep.
There are other valid perspectives.
Okay.
Other forms of knowledge.
Okay.
That can really like enrich our understanding.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Think about indigenous knowledge systems, for example.
Okay.
They often have this like really deep understanding of the natural world.
Right.
Developed over generations of observation and experience.
No.
Or consider, you know, the arts and the humanities.
Right.
They offer insights into human values, emotions, motivations.
Right.
Which can be so helpful
in
navigating all of these like really complex issues.
Okay, so you're not saying that we should like pit science against these other ways of knowing. It's more about like recognizing that they all have value,
right?
And like finding ways to like bring them together.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's where things, I think, get really exciting.
Yeah.
When we can bring together these different perspectives, yeah, we can start to develop more holistic and nuanced solutions to the challenges we face.
It's not about finding like the single right answer. It's about like recognizing that there's all this complexity.
Right. And all these different like ways of knowing that can contribute to a better future.
That's a really great point.
Yeah.
And I think this is actually a perfect spot to take our last break.
Right.
So when we come back, let's explore like what this all means for the future of science and how we can all like be better participants in this complex dance between like knowledge and society.
Exactly.
All right, we're back and ready to like tackle the big question.
Okay.
What does all of this mean for the future of science?
It's a question that, you know, Luhmann, he really wrestled with throughout his work. And, you know, he recognized, like, the incredible power of science to shape, you know, our world.
Right.
But he also saw the potential problems, I think, when a society relies so heavily on these complex systems.
Right.
Of knowledge production.
Right. Which are hard for like regular people to grasp, you know?
Exactly.
So it's not just about like celebrating all the cool discoveries and the progress and all that.
Right.
It's about like also thinking critically about like science's role in society.
Exactly. And it's not, again, it's not about being anti-science.
Right.
It's about being, I think, pro-informed engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And Luhmann, he actually argues that the critique of science can only happen through more science.
Whoa, hold on. So we need science to critique itself.
Yeah.
Isn't that a bit like circular?
It might sound that way at first, but but think about it. To really understand like the limits of a scientific model or the potential biases in a research study, you need deep scientific expertise.
Mm.
It's about developing a sophisticated understanding of how science works, not just, you know, focusing on the discoveries themselves.
Okay. I'm starting to see your point. But this goes beyond like individual scientists just being more like self-aware, right?
Yeah.
It's about like how science as a whole like interacts with the rest of society.
Absolutely. Luhmann, he believed that for science to truly serve society, it needs to be in like constant dialogue with other systems.
Okay.
And that means not just, you know, communicating findings clearly,
right,
but also being open to input and critique from outside the scientific community.
So scientists can't just stay locked away in their labs.
Exactly. They need to be engaged in public discourse, you know, explaining their work in ways that everyone can understand.
Right.
Listening to concerns, collaborating with, you know, policymakers, community leaders, everyday people.
That makes a lot of sense. But I mean, let's be real, science is complicated.
Yeah.
Most people don't have the time.
Right.
Or the, you know, the expertise to really dig into the details of every scientific issue. So how do we bridge that gap?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
I think we need better science education.
Okay.
Not just teaching, you know, facts.
Right.
But teaching people how to think critically about scientific claims.
Okay.
How to evaluate evidence.
Hmm.
How to recognize, you know, potential biases.
So more science literacy.
Exactly.
For everyone.
Yeah.
I like it. What else?
I think we also need more spaces.
Okay.
For dialogue and deliberation. So things like, you know, public forums.
Okay.
Citizen science initiatives.
Okay.
You know, media platforms that can help facilitate these informed discussions.
Mm-hmm.
These can all help, I think, bridge that gap.
Yeah.
And foster trust between, you know, scientists and the public.
This is giving me like hope for the future.
Yeah.
What's the one thing you really want our listeners to take away from our deep dive into Luhmann?
I think that modern science is a powerful force.
Yeah.
But it's not a magic bullet.
Mm.
It's a complex system
embedded
in an even more complex society.
Right.
And to really harness its power responsibly, we need to understand how it works, be aware of its limitations, and engage in like ongoing critical reflection and dialogue.
That's a great point. Science is a journey, not a destination.
Well said.
We need to keep asking questions, keep learning, and keep pushing for a future where science really does serve humanity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone. We hope you learned something new and are feeling inspired to explore these ideas further. And remember, the critique of science can only happen through more science, so what questions are you going to ask?